Hi everyone, this is Joyce, and you're listening to Powerhouse. In this episode, I speak to Anna Fisher, the first woman to row solo around Hong Kong and represent Hong Kong in the Asian Games in sailing. Listen to how she's working towards the 2024 Olympics. Hi, welcome to Powerhouse. Joining us today is Anna Fisher. She's a rower at the Royal Hong Kong Yacht Club. She's also represented Asia Games in sailing for Hong Kong.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So tell us, how did you get into rowing and sailing?
I started rowing at university. Yeah, right before uni started, all the student emails started coming in, and then I thought it was a good way to meet people, maybe just join a couple of the sports teams. I actually tried out, I think, karate and archery. It was really random, but rowing is the one that stuck. And then, yeah, and then I did it for, now it's the 11th year that I'm rowing.
Yeah. So you started in university then?
Yeah, for the Hong Kong U team.
Awesome. How do you feel like your previous, do you have other sports related activities before that help like prepare?
Oh, no, I was always really bad at sports. I always wanted to be good at sports, but in school it was always ball related games like basketball, netball, volleyball, and I can't catch and I can't throw. And so I was never any good at sports at school. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of why at uni, I ignored all those teams. And then the ones I went for were all the different ones I could not have done in high school. And I stuck with rowing.
That's cool. And what about rowing that you really like and really kind of capture your attention and kept going for the past so many years?
I think I like that it's actually quite simple. It's just one movement that you do over and over and over again. Because our races are the standard around the world is 2,000 meters long. Yeah, you literally just do that one motion, maybe like 300 times over in a race. But then it just becomes, how do you perfect it? How do you apply power? Everyone's tired in a race, so how do you stay focused and head in the race to win? And I thought this was very different compared to other sports that I tried. And somehow, I don't know, it just really vibed with me.
Yeah, I guess it's very calming as well at the same time while doing it.
Yeah, because we also, we train on rowing machines. So it's just, maybe you've seen them in the gym. It's just one standalone, yeah. And again, it's like running or the cycling machine or elliptical, but yeah, you're just on it and you just do the same thing over and over, but you get into this zen-like mode. And then after a while, it's like, okay, I'm in my happy space. This is cool.
That's good. And also, in addition to that, but you also mentioned there's like certain strategies, like, does that surprise you or as you get into more and more into competition, right? So obviously you have to be a little bit more strategic. Do you feel like there's other things, within rowing that kind of really captured your enjoyment and excitement of the sport?
So I think I can be quite a competitive person. Rowing, it's just very stripped down. Like you just go from point A to point B and whoever's fastest, that's it. So it's kind of like running or swimming, right? Mm-hmm. Except in rowing, you're also on a boat and you have to handle oars. But I think I appreciated this kind of like really pure kind of competition, if that makes sense. Right. Like you don't have to think about tactics or strategies or play mind games, for example, like football or tennis. Yeah, I don't know. I think I just appreciated that of rowing. Right.
So just really kind of in your own like rhythm and then kind of just.
Yeah. And like the Olympics of that we had just now, it was really like, it was so awesome to watch the races because you could just appreciate the technique and like the Olympians make it look like they're having a nice time. Like when they zoom in on their face during the race, you're like, wow, if that was me, like it would not look like that. But then you appreciate it because you're like, wow, like this is incredible. Like how they make the technique look so easy.
And how do you know that obviously then you're good at it and you kept going, but how do you know want to continue? I guess, I mean, you obviously went to many different competitions and represented Hong Kong and Asian Games. And so how did that all come about?
It was a bit frustrating actually, because in rowing, there's two weight categories. There's lightweight and then there's open weight. So in lightweight, ladies have to be 59 kilos and open weight is just anything above 59. Mm-hmm. And in Hong Kong, women, so I had to be 59 kilos and I could just never get down to it. Mm-hmm. So I did compete in race, many different races, but they were maybe university level or just we applied ourselves to go overseas. Like we did some races in China, but I could never actually get on to Hong Kong team. Asian Games was actually for sailing.
Oh, right.
Which was it was for sailing, which is just really by luck that I got into it. But now I finished my sailing stint, and after seeing my inspiration actually is seeing Siobhan at the Tokyo Olympics in swimming, because she's Eurasian, and I was like, she's won 2 silver medals, I'm also Eurasian, what have I done with my life? So I decided to give it another go for rowing because it coincides with the next Olympics and Asian Games. They're removing more lightweight events. So the focus is being put back onto open weight, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So now I might actually have a chance of getting on the team.
Awesome. Yeah. So what would that look like in terms of your training routine for like the next few years, I guess?
Well, right now I'm still doing it independently. So I train in the morning, maybe 2 sessions in the morning, 6 to 7, and then 8 to 9, something like that. And then I go off to work. We have a Hong Kong Rowing Championships in October.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's an Asian indoor qualifier. So that's a race on rowing machines. I think that's February or March. I need to check, but it's early next year.
Right.
And that's the selection. That's the selection process. If I get on the team, then I can represent Asian Games for next August.
Awesome.
And if I can get to go to Asian Games, then hopefully I can go to Olympics in 2024.
Awesome. Yeah. Wow. So excited. I'm going to definitely follow.
Thank you.
Yeah. And just cheer on.
It sounds crazy to say, but I don't know. I was just like, okay, you got to dream big, but you have to set crazy goals and then you can try work towards them. So I'm just going for it.
Absolutely. And just speaking with, you know, your journey so far, what is the biggest like challenge that you've encountered and had to, you know, get over in terms of just sticking with the game?
I think it's like a lightweight rowing that I mentioned before, having to try to lose weight and then not get on the team. Then I stopped rowing, left it for maybe a year or two, came back. And then now to go back into the intense training that I used to do,
right.
It's quite hard. So I used to train at 6 and then when I joined the sailing team for maybe around 2 years, it went to like 10 a.m., which is so much nicer. You have a lie-in.
Yep.
And now I have to go back to like every day, 5:30, 6 a.m. And it's like, it's a struggle.
Wow.
It's a struggle that I'm dealing with now.
For sure. Let's just struggle. Just get up.
my teammates laugh at me though, because so I row with Yacht Club. I train with them in their sessions. And so Yacht Club, a lot of people live on Hong Kong Island. So they have to carpool or taxi in. So they wake up maybe like anywhere between 4:30 a.m. to 5 a.m. to get to 6 a.m.
Wow.
I actually live like a 15-minute drive from the river. So I only have to get up at 5:30, but I'm still the one that doesn't make it.
It's always the closest one, right? Like it's like going to school. Whoever lives next to a school.
Yeah, it's farther. Yeah.
Late, because you time it like exactly, which is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's great. It's great to kind of get back into that. And that's training on open water or indoors?
Oh, on the river. On the river.
Okay.
The open water that I did is a separate kind of rowing event.
Wow, very interesting. But I guess that's quite nice at least. Well, it's really hot now, but this is, you know, September in Hong Kong.
That's also where we train at 6. It's not just because it's before work. It's also because it's the coolest time of the day. We can do it at night, but that's usually too hard because after work, people just want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And at night, we have to also put on lights on the boat as a safety measure. So we prefer the earlier, the better.
Now, along with training, do you have to have a strict diet or because you train so much, it's actually okay? You can just eat anything?
Oh, it's okay now. I used to, like lightweight part. I used to.
Right.
But now it's open. It's like free for all. I can eat whatever I want.
Right.
I try to be healthy.
Right. As long as you train for the time and all that, then that's all good.
Well, I was saying this to my friend. Yeah, I don't really see food anymore. As in, I'll be like, okay, this is my carb, this is my protein, and this is my fiber. And then I just make sure I get enough of each. So I'm not picky about food, just as long as I get the calories in, I'm okay.
That's good. That's great, actually. Get you whatever you want because you exercise.
Well, it's because we also train so much. That's why.
No, totally.
The balance, you know, pro and con. Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's great. That's great. Maybe I should start working out some more. So hard to
come. Come rowing. I don't mind giving you a couple of trials to see what it's about.
Well, thank you. I might have to take up that offer. just for fun. How's the support system? Like, speaking of, you know, athletes, right? And you'd mentioned Olympics before, and we know it's obviously it's a hard field to be in, especially in Hong Kong, Asia. How do you feel is the support system set up in Hong Kong and the general infrastructure to kind of support athletes working their way to these competitions?
I think it depends per sport. So in the two that I were briefly in, you get support, but it's also a very harsh life. Like, because in order to get the support, you have to show you have done the results or the required training hours,
yeah,
etc. This makes sense. It's just like, you know, a job. You just, you know, you put in the effort and you get the support. But I think that as an athlete, sometimes it's quite hard, maybe because of society here, emphasis is not really put on being an athlete, but this is more of a what do we call it, mavericks, like we're like the outsiders. Not everyone would choose to be an athlete, and so I think in that case it's quite hard. Having said that though, being part of this dot club has been really cool. I think because everyone still has an athletic mindset, but because that pressure is removed because it's a club after all, I feel like the support system in my little rowing world here is amazing. When I said that I wanted to join the competition last year for Around the Island, people were like, okay, what do you need? Like, do you need nutrition support? Do you need a support boat? Like, do you need coaching? And like, I thought that was really cool of them.
Well, tell us more about I was going to ask you, the first, being first females to go sailing around Hong Kong. And so tell us about that competition and how did you decide to join it?
I didn't realize that no woman had done it yet last year until basically I was at a dinner at the club and then people were like, oh, we still haven't had a woman row around the island. Oh, why don't you do it, Anna? And then, so I've actually done Around the Island maybe 3 times now. I did it in a 4-person boat twice and then I coxed it once. The cox is the person who steers the boat.
Okay.
It's almost as uncomfortable, I think, because you sit in the same position, like you're in this position for 4 hours. So actually initially I said no, just because I knew how harsh it was.
Yeah.
But then they were like, come on, you know, you'll be the first one. Like, even if you're slow, it doesn't matter because you should be first. Right. And then I was like, okay, if you put it that way, then I'll do it. And because of COVID and all, the planning for this race actually didn't happen until just a couple of months before it. So I also only had a couple of months to prepare for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried my best. I think it was really good that I had a base before. So I wasn't worried about not finishing. It was just more like how to prepare the mind, because it is a really long journey. It's 42 kilometers. And the weeks leading up to it, the weather was awesome. So sunny. So it was like my background. But then on the day, it was like, I think maybe a couple of days before, because we had typhoons coming in that weekend. And it was like 180 degrees change. We went from sunny weather to overcast, to from flat water to 3-4 meter waves. And then from, we had some wind. It's normal to have wind when you go around the island. From maybe, let's say, 5 knots, which is quite light, we went from 5 to 30 knots. Gusts.
Wow.
I think, I can't remember the equivalent, but I think 30 knots is something like 20 kilometers an hour. So yep. It's quite fast. Like, yep. If you have to row against that pressure, that's quite fast. And so my target time was 5 hours, was less than 5, because mm-hmm. all the 4-person boats had done it in 4 hours. I was like, okay, if I add an extra hour, an hour and a half, that should be all right. But in the end, I took like 6 hours, 44 minutes and 59 seconds. So almost 7 hours. And yeah, that was an experience.
Yeah, I mean, super tiring. And
yeah.
And well, so you must have thought somewhere along the line that you like maybe throw in the towel and
yeah, I mean, so we all have a support boat that follows us. It's just a safety requirement. And just to make sure you're going the right way, because in rowing, we're heading backwards. So if I want to check direction, I have to physically turn my head back.
Oh, I see.
So in a four-person boat, you have the cop steering. So he's the one looking forward. So everyone else can just concentrate on rowing. And then my friend who was on it afterwards also asked me, was like, did you think about quitting at any point? Because there were some moments, just because when, for example, at the halfway mark around the island near Repulse Bay, on the race course, there's an island just off Repulse Bay called Round Island. And we have to dip into it and then come out again. Mm-hmm. And on the day, I almost couldn't do it, just because the wind was actually blowing out from Repulse Bay. So it was pushing you past the island.
Right.
So if you look on my map, because I tracked it, if you look on my map, you see that I do this like awkward 90 degrees turn in, like shot me out, and then somehow wrenched myself back out around the island. And it was that moment my friend was like, yeah, I wasn't sure you were going to make that either, because I was actually really close to Round Island at that point. And I was like, oh my God, like if I don't row now, right, I'm going to be disqualified anyway for like breaking the boat. No, like, seriously, you're so strong. Yeah, that part was hard because in my rowing history, I actually have like, I have a weak right shoulder that I'm still working on. It's been like 10 years that I'm still working on. And when I was doing that Round Island bit, I could only row on the right shoulder,
right,
because of steering. And right, so I was like, great.
Oh my gosh.
Now this really hurts. But that was maybe at like 2.5 hour mark. And I was like, okay, I only have to plug it out for 2.5 hours more.
Right.
And everything will be fine. I can have my burger, my buffet, everything. Except it took like another 4 hours. When I think about it now, I find it quite funny. But in the moment, you know, there was like waterworks.
Yeah.
Like so much cracking. Oh. And just like, you know, 1 inch at a time rowing back to the finish line.
And is that what you have in your head? It's just like, okay, a little bit more, a little bit more. Just, is that what kept
you? Yeah. Seriously. And because I don't know if it sounds too cheesy, but so my mom has never ever watched any of my rowing races until this one, because she was like, okay, this is a historic one, I'm gonna be there at the finish line.
Yeah.
And then so when I was at all the hard parts, I was kind of like, God, I can't give up, because it's like the one time my mom is there, and if I don't finish it, that means I have to do this again. so that I do finish it, so that when she is there, she'll see me finish it. That's what kept me going, really. Just thinking, because it wasn't only my mom, it was some of my other family relatives too. Yeah, I don't know why they've never been to my rowing races. Maybe because I've just done it for too long, so they haven't bothered. But this was like the actual, you know, first historic race that I did. So yeah, I had maybe my sisters came and brother-in-law. So yeah, family was a big motivation.
Right. Well, that's great. So that's great that they did turn up, right? Otherwise, well, you're less motivation. So it is a good moment.
But except I capsized. So we had a tracker on the boat, and I capsized at one point, maybe just before halfway. Mm-hmm. And apparently the tracker died because I capsized.
Oh.
And so they were trying to see where I was.
Right.
And after that, they didn't know. And so they were just blindly waiting for like another 2 hours.
Like, where is she? And did she quit?
Yeah. And so luckily I had made a WhatsApp group beforehand. So I put some of the people on the safety boat in the group and my relatives, so that just if they could, then they could help me update them. And so that's how they got info about me.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
No one's worrying and too much.
But that was a crazy day. Yeah.
Wow, but amazing. It's you know, you did it.
Thank you. Yeah, but never again though. Like one time is enough. Yeah.
Never say never. It's actually really break a record next time.
Oh, well, so you see, okay, I did it last year, maybe I think so almost 7 hours, right?
Mm.
So this year we have two women doing it.
Mm.
So last year was me and two guys, and this year I think it's one guy and two women. Right. It's super cool. So like, yeah, but the reverse. And right. I think they seriously can do it in under 6 hours, maybe closer to 5 hours.
Hmm.
But they're training now. They've been training for maybe 2 months already.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, so it hasn't happened.
So they have way more training. Yeah. I think it'll be a really exciting race for this November.
Interesting.
And then I'm like, oh, if they beat my time, does that mean I need to go again?
Because you might be like,
does that mean I need to go again next year?
Yeah. Might be good training for the Olympics too.
No. Oh, that's true, I guess. Yeah, that's true.
Think about it. But that's great. I mean, looking forward to see more, obviously. And I mean, I think, I think the general Olympics, I mean, the results did so well this year that it raises the profile for athletes, right? Just general athletes or, you know, Hong Konger watching. Because I think before, you know, whether it's time difference or Olympics, not as many people kind of really watch it and get so engaged. I think this year feels like a lot of people are really like talking about it, you know, talk about the news, updating every day. I think just overall awareness of how hard people, you know, work, athletes work to get there and more.
Definitely. Even the Paralympic side, which I don't know why there wasn't that much coverage, but I tried to watch them too.
Yeah.
And I think Hong Kong athletes, seriously, across both like Olympics and Paralympics, they did so awesome this year.
Yeah.
And I really hope that like the government gives more funding and maybe like society as well appreciates them more.
Yeah, totally. And then just earlier on, right, in terms of, you know, because I remember we talked about and like a lot of, you know, professional athletes still have to have a full-time job. And that's really hard.
Yeah.
Because then, well, you're doing your full-time job and you don't have that much more time to just practice, right? Or it's just physically and mentally draining. So I think there's probably opportunity there, right? To kind of bridge that gap and help athletes that are, you know, getting there to just ease their mind financially to then just focus on their sport.
Yeah, for sure. I think maybe one of the biggest issues, though, is it's more like what happens after the athletic career is over. Because, I mean, all athletes have an expiry date. It depends on the sport.
Mm.
And I think that overseas, it's more appreciative. So if you've been to the Olympics or even not, like just the fact that you've been an athlete, like a lot of companies appreciate it because, you know, it shows like teamwork, discipline, you want to work hard, etc. But in Hong Kong, like even my experience when I first had to quit after I quit the sailing team and tried to find jobs, local companies just didn't care. They were like, oh, okay, so you were an athlete, great. But then
so
it was like international. But yeah, whereas it was like the more international companies that were like, oh, that's really cool. How did you do? How was it like? And then, yeah, they appreciated the effort put in. Because I think just because you're not working in an office doesn't mean you don't pick up skills that you could. I mean, if they then wanted to work, that they could apply.
Sure.
So, I mean, I hope society also changes this to a point. So they don't just see athletes as sports people. They actually are, you know, they are also workable too, if they wanted to.
Right. And learned skills. And so with that, what are the kind of some of the skills or lessons along the way they've learned the most from sports, let's say, that's maybe unexpected?
Oh, I don't know if it sounds cheesy, but like the drive or the willpower to just get things done, because that's what we do. Like literally rowing is like you just have to go from A to B. You have to do it no matter how hard it is or how long it takes. Yeah. And then, for example, on the sailing side, I thought that was a really cool learning experience because sailing is, you have to deal with changing elements. So, for example, you could start the training session or race in light wind. Suddenly it's heavy wind. And then you're like, oh, I have to make a switch. Like the settings change. I have to do this. Maybe then another element changes. And then I thought it really helped me like adapt to situations and like just be more quick thinking on my feet, solving problems. Also, that's another good one. Like I started to call myself, what was it? Like a solution solver to my friends. Just because like during a race or something breaks, you can't get anyone to help you. You have to figure everything out for yourself. Or even if you have to use creative ways of using tape to plug a hole. Like you just have to find a solution. Yeah.
Great.
But I think this is cool about sports. It teaches you other skills as well.
Absolutely. And for the sailing, you it's a one person sailing or you also?
I was in a two person boat. Sailing is really, really hard. They normally start from like 8 years old because the steering is so intuitive. Like you do it for so often, it becomes intuitive.
Right.
But my role on the boat was basically the brawn, so no need a brain. And so she basically found me because I was on the rowing team. And my role on the boat just had to be the fitter person because I had to jump around from like one side to the other.
Yep.
So it had to be tall, heavy, and strong.
Right.
But that at the same time, it meant that I didn't need to know about sailing because she could direct me.
Right.
In the beginning, I had no idea what was going on. I was just like, okay, I'm going to pull this rope.
Right.
And then after a couple of months, I was like, okay, I get the hang of it now. I can actually help you out now.
Yeah. What is the one maybe problem that you had to solve creatively, I guess, in sailing? Like, did you guys encounter any specific issue and you have to think quickly to fix it?
Well, this wasn't necessarily creative because there was a procedure, but I think it was definitely the most stressful time. And the way we handled it, I thought, like, even now when I think about it, I'm like, wow, like, that was very professional. Okay, let me tell you. So
yes,
we, right before Asian Games, we had entered into Asian Sailing Cup, I think. And it's quite a big race. I think it was one of the qualifiers. And right before the race, like, our coach was towing us over the ocean to the start line. And on the boat, we have a mast and there's two wires that hold the mast up. And one of them snapped. And so the mast fell. So we can't sail at all. Right. And so we were like, then immediately, like, because the coach didn't know what happened, he just kept going. So, you know, I was screaming like, no, stop, gotta go back. He turned, saw what happened. We immediately went back. And then already, like, in our heads, we were like, okay, so who's going to go get the spare wire? Who's going to do this? How are we going to direct everyone? Mm. And so in, like, maybe the 10 minutes, we got back onto the beach. And then we were already, like, I don't know, like, two military generals, you know? We were like, one of us calling the volunteers, and like, okay, do this, do this, do this, do this. Fixed it. It was the quickest fix ever, I think. It maybe took under like 5 minutes and immediately towed us back, and we just made it in time for the start line.
Oh, wow.
That was the most stressful moment, yeah, of sailing career.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. I mean, that speaks to just all that practice and you kind of know the procedures. So it just kind of got into that auto mode, yeah, of like, you guys get done, right? And then you just kind of...
This has never happened before as well. We kind of talked about it, but it's never happened in practice. So I'm really proud of how we handled that.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. So, I mean, great training for like quick thinking and solving. No, so it's great. What other advice would you give in terms of either entering a sport, becoming an athlete, or just general life advice?
Just try everything, because you never know where it'll take you. So as in, for me, I was so bad at sport, yet somehow I just wanted it. And then I was like, okay, I'm just going to try all the sports, try rowing, ended up being okay at it. And then, so I'm really glad I didn't give up. And I think the second thing would be, yeah, what I just said, just to not give up. I'm telling that to myself now too.
Yeah.
Because I want to make it to 2024 and I'm not going to give up for that. So yeah.
That's the resolve. That's
yes.
Athlete. And that's awesome. Awesome to hear. And I was going to ask, what's your next project? But it sounds like the Olympics will be kind of the goal on the next project.
Yeah, well, the immediate one is Hong Kong Champs in October, mm-hmm, on the 9th to 10th of October. And then next year, Asian Games. And then 3 years later, Olympic Games.
So that's the progression to, yeah, get
it. It sounds crazy. Like, I'm saying these words, but I want it so badly. So I'm going to try my best to get there.
I mean, the first step is to want it, right? So... Yeah. You want it, you're talking about it, puts a stake in the ground.
Hopefully we can do another podcast later.
Absolutely. Yeah. Love to hear about that whole journey, right, in a few years. So cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was really fun.